The president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Touraine, has called for an end to the persecution of Christians in India. Jean-Patrick Lovett reports.
Cardinal Touraine's appeal came in a message to mark the annual Hindu Festival of Light, Diwali. In the message, entitled Christians and Hindus Together in Favour of Non-Violence, Cardinal Touraine praises the figure of Mahatma Gandhi, who he said was a model of non-violence. The Cardinal goes on to say that non-violence is not merely a tactical manoeuvre. It's the attitude of one who, in the words of Pope Benedict XVI, is so convinced of God's love and power that he's not afraid to tackle evil with the weapons of love and truth alone. Love of one's enemy, writes Cardinal Touraine, is the revolution of love, a love that does not rely ultimately on human resources, but is a gift of God. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
The appeal in favour of non-violence comes in the wake of weeks of anti-Christian violence in the Indian state of Orissa. Hindu extremists in this eastern state have murdered scores of Christians and forced more than 50,000 of them to flee their homes and seek refuge in camps or unofficial settlements. The extremists have destroyed the Christians' homes and livelihoods, burnt dozens of churches, and raped and beaten a number of religious women. Earlier this week, one of the first Christians to suffer a beating at the hands of an angry Hindu mob, Father Bernard de Gal, became another victim of the persecution when he died of injuries he sustained 2 months ago. Pope Benedict has decried the killings and riots and called on leaders to spare no effort to ensure the protection of these Christians, whom he said are the victims of intolerance and cruel violence. Reports from Orissa say the situation is still tense with intermittent attacks, but the world's media is no longer shining the spotlight there. So what's the plight of the displaced people like, and are they likely to be able to return to their homes in the near future? Well, to find out more, I spoke to Jennifer Poydatz, who's the country representative for Catholic Relief Services in India.
The population that has been driven out of their homes by force for no reason other than the religion that they practice are traumatized. Many of them have been separated from their loved ones. Many of them have seen their loved ones beaten in front of them, have been witness to these types of atrocities. And I think the other thing that concerns CRS the most is that many of them have been displaced for the second time, because in December, just after Christmas, there was a similar round of violence in Orissa that led to massive displacements as well. So this is the second time many families have been displaced and are now staying in relief camps that have been set up by the government. And hopefully the security situation will improve soon and they will be able to return home and start to rebuild their lives.
You talked about these people, many of them being traumatized. Could you describe, in fact, in more detail what their morale is like? Are they, in fact, too frightened to return home at the moment? Tell me a little bit about their mood.
They're extremely frightened, and they're frightened because they know of others who are still hiding in the forest. They know of others who have tried to return home, but only to be attacked or only to be forced to convert. So the fear is there, and some of them are even saying that they don't want to go home and that they will never go home, and they need to find, you know, a new place to live and a new place to restart their lives.
Now, this violence has been blamed on Hindu hardliners, but what about the rest of the local non-Christian population there, shall we say, the moderates? Are they sympathetic to the plight of these Christians? Are they talking about it at all?
I think what's important to understand is that this part of Orissa and the population that's being affected is a very poor tribal populations with very few resources and safety nets, whose lives have been turned upside down, whether whether they're Christian, whether they're Hindu. I mean, life, you know, as it should be in these villages, has come to a standstill. So it's not just the Christian population that's been affected, it's the entire communities. And what's happening is people, when they're threatened, if you don't kind of join with us, you might lose the few things that you own, such as your land and your livelihood. And therefore, you have a situation where, you know, neighbors are being forced to go against neighbors, and that's what's going to make it so difficult to bring these communities back together, because, you know, the tension that's been created and the animosity and the fear all has to be dealt with within, you know, within communities and with people who used to live, you know, next door to each other.
I mean, in fact, do these displaced people feel that things can never go back to they were before, that, as you say, this tension is so great now and this violence has been going on for quite a long time that it'll be extremely difficult, as you said, to knit things back together?
I think there is a fear. I think some, you know, there is a lot of, when you talk to those who are in the camps, they say, you know, we can't go back, it's too dangerous, and there's nothing left. I mean, our home has been destroyed, or we need to find a new place to live. But then I think the majority of them do want to go back and do want to restart their lives, but there is going to be a need for a lot of support and a coordinated effort for all actors, and I think that's where the church has a big role to play in helping to rebuild communities and bring people back together and to be able to live together again and support each other. And where CRS can play a role is both through our relief activities, but also we look at the longer term, the rehabilitation is building peace building and conflict resolution activities into our recovery efforts in a way that brings communities back together and hopefully restoring the peace that existed before.
But in the short term, do many of these displaced Christians believe that the violence against them is likely to continue?
Yes, I do think the majority of them are still extremely frightened because the incidences of people being attacked and homes being burned are continuing. However, it is getting better, and there is a sign that the security situation is improving, and there is a sign that those who are committing these acts are starting to be arrested and dealt with. But the flip side of that is, as they are arrested, there are protests against them being arrested by the extremist groups. That then again can incite a situation of insecurities.
To sum up very briefly, how do these people see the future?
I think right now they're very concerned. I think right now they're living day to day. I don't think they're thinking about the future. They're thinking about, you know, how are they going to get through another day in the camp? How are they going to make sure that their children are engaged in some type of activity and some semblance of a normal life?
I was speaking there to Jennifer Poydatz of Catholic Relief Services in India.